underway. Well, we're underway like the IU basketball season is underway. And the Hoosiers came out guns a-blazing last night, looking like they were going to steamroll Eastern Michigan and get them out of Bloomington with a fat L. But then things got interesting. IU jumped out to a 30-15 lead, and everyone's feeling hunky-dory about themselves. And then Eastern Michigan made it a nail-biter. So the Hoosiers won, and as IU basketball fans know, that is the point. Indiana did not win their first game of the Archie Miller era, so getting the victory, it's something that teams like Virginia, for example, did not do last night when they were a significant home favorite. So IU got the win, but it wasn't easy, and we're going to dive into our reactions from Tuesday night's game. What went well, what didn't, which players played well, which didn't, and what to look forward to in Friday's second game of the season. That and so much more here on episode 225 of the Hoosier Sound, where we are the official podcast of Indiana HQ. It's November 10th, 2021, where I am your host, Nathan Christian. Here with me tonight is my normal co-host, Matt Lukens. Matt, I know you watched the game last night. Talk it through with me. What were your initial reactions? And if you could summarize IU's win in one word, what would it be?
So I was thinking about this. When you asked me it, I was like, man, what would I say? And I would say ambiguous.
Ooh,
would be wow. the correct word for last night's win. I don't know what this team is after last night's win, but the first half team was way better than the second half team. Which team do we have? I would like to think that we have the first half team based off of last night. I think they left their foot off the pedal, and they put their other foot on the brake. Second half yesterday, and that's why we let up a 20-point lead at home. And also, Eastern Michigan, Nathan, this is like the 20th time I've brought this up on this podcast, and through the history of the podcast, this might be the most reoccurring segment on the podcast. But why does MAC teams, Missouri Valley teams,
right?
Does one guard
maybe like from, Horizon League or whatever?
Does one guard from a mid-major team always come into Assembly Hall and just shows out like he's prime Steph Curry for like 10 minutes? I don't get it. I read something, so somebody talked, like, brought this up again on Twitter, and somebody like actually gave a really thought out answer about this and said, you know, Assembly Hall is well lit, it's a shooter's gym, you know, and when somebody gets comfortable and is feeling it in a shooter's gym, right, it's like practice. And so that makes sense. But I think that's all the more reason why we should get a new arena.
Now you're coming out guns a-blazing.
No. But for real, like, it's just crazy. We need to the team needs to learn how to stomp on people's neck after last night. Again, 68-62, a 6-point win against a team you were favored by nearly 30 to beat.
It was like 24. I mean,
anyway, 24,
you know, six is at 24, right?
It's unacceptable. Okay. Like, it's not okay. And they were up 20, right? Like, they could have covered. Good teams win, great teams cover. They did not cover, they won. So IU has a lot to prove. There was a lot of stuff we can talk about. We'll get into that looked ugly. There's a lot of stuff that looked great. I had a fun time watching last night, and I also want to take ownership. One last thing for the rant. I would like to take ownership for all the jinxing last night. I jinxed multiple things. The first thing I said was, I was tweeting from Hoosier Sound Twitter account. By the way, if you don't follow us, go follow us on Twitter. Parker Stewart had 2 3-pointers at the beginning of the game. I have been on this podcast talking about how important Parker Stewart is going to be for this team. And he comes out and hits the first two buckets of the season, three pointers. And I said, look how important. I've been telling you about Parker Stewart. Look at
this. We knew it.
He went 0 of 3 for the rest of the game. He only had 5 shots in the game after starting 2 of 2. He went 2 of 4 from 3 and ended with 6 points and 2 fouls. They barely got him the ball in the second half. That's something we'll talk about later. The second thing I did, Nathan, was I said, I love basketball when we were up 20 after Trace had the wonderful, wonderful sequence. We then went on to be outscored, was it 37 to like 12 down the, or 37 to like 20 something down the stretch, to almost lose the lead, which was unfortunate. And so I like those two things. I will not refrain from jinxing in the future, so I apologize.
Yeah, Indiana's largest lead on Tuesday night was 21 points. And if you do the math, that means Eastern Michigan outscored IU by 15 the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider that Indiana's largest lead came early in the second half. So for Eastern Michigan to go plus 15, and of course, the final margin was 6 points. You know, Eastern Michigan, remind me, did they tie the game there at some point?
They had it down to one.
They had it down to one. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was one or if they had all come back all the way. But clearly, there are a lot of areas of improvement for this team. But it is game one.
Yeah.
And that's why my word for this game is intriguing. Okay, it's intriguing. All right, I saw some good things. I saw 24 three-pointers attempted. I saw faster tempo. I saw faster tempo.
Good, yes.
I didn't see too much mixing of defenses. That's something that Mike Woodson and Dane Fife and Kenya Hunter and Yasir Osman might be saving for bigger things later in the season.
Yeah.
So overall, the word for me is intriguing. Indiana defeated Eastern Michigan on opening night, 68-62 on Tuesday night at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. Taking it in on television was a wonderful sight to see so many people in the Carnegie Hall of College Basketball, as Gus Johnson calls it. We had Jevin with boots on the ground covering the game for us at Indiana HQ, and the atmosphere in the building was incredible, especially when Parker Stewart hit those two threes at the start. It really looked like, you know, Indiana is going to drop 100 on the MAC team. IU outscored Eastern Michigan 36-19 in the first half, but then got outscored 43-32 in the second. So intriguing to me, lots of components to look at. Man, as I look back on this game, what went well? Okay, that's a question that right now I think Hoosier fans might be struggling with a little bit. Help Hoosier Nation sort of not get off the ledge. Let the, you know, give them some comfort, man. Be the great comforter. Yeah. What went well in IU's win on Tuesday night?
Well, I'll let you know, our defense was great.
Right? That's what I thought.
Especially in the first half. Again, I think they only scored 19 points in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up with 62. That tells you how bad the defense was in the second half, especially the last three quarters of the second, like the last 15 minutes of the second half was just awful.
Yeah. I don't know, though. Like, some of it was just pretty incredible shot making. Right? Noah Farrakhan, he's somebody you mentioned a minute ago. The Eastern Michigan guard who led their team in scoring. He is somebody who was pretty heavily recruited out of high school. Big East teams like Georgetown extended offers to him. He's out of the Patrick School in New Jersey, pretty well-known basketball high school there. It just hasn't really worked out for him. But at Eastern Michigan, he's getting complete reign over this offense. He had 27 points in an exhibition game against Oakland. This is a guy who I thought just caught fire after he missed his first, I think, 13 shots. Yeah. You know, I think the defense, even when Eastern Michigan came back, was okay.
Yeah, no, it was okay. But, like, you are the better team. You need to stomp on their throat.
Right,
and the offense was not delivering it. We'll talk about bad things later, but we'll talk a ton about the offense, trust me. But defense was great. Switching was great. Like, this is a very switchable team that we have. Like, at Trace at the five, Race at the four, you can go out and guard guards. Now, it was weird because the person that Trace looked the most uncomfortable guarding was Benelli, the shooting forward for Eastern Michigan. Yep. The guy, he drained, I think, two threes.
Yep.
He drained both of them while Trace was guarding him because you know, Trace did not know how to play against Benelli. But he was, I thought he did very well in guarding guards and keeping them in front of him. I thought, by the way, Parker Stewart might not have done a ton on offense, but when he played very well in defense. He kept people in front of him. I thought he played very well. And the four guys off the bench, the first two were Finney and Bates. And Bates looked good last night. I thought Parker Stewart looked good. I thought once Xavier Johnson got into the game, he looked good. I think we could look to see more from Miller Kopp, but I thought his shot-making ability looked good. That last second shot in the first half was pretty fun to watch. And then the most important thing to me is we had 13 assists in the game, and we caused 13 turnovers. That's a winning strategy. Like sharing the ball and taking the ball away from the other team, forcing them to throw the ball away, or even, you know, some of them are, of course, travels and whatnot, but it all adds up. If you could have a one-to-one ratio between assists and steals.
Yeah. Or takeaways, yeah.
And takeaways, like, that's good. Like, that's really, 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 really good. That's, like, that's a functioning team. Yeah. And this, with that stat, this game should have been won by 20.
Yeah, but it should have. And, you know, I threw out a teaser in our Hoosier Sound Twitter account, sort of the build up to our podcast episode tonight. And I pointed out that there was a surprising stat. Okay. And the surprising stat is basically this. Last year, there were 21 instances, 21 across all of college basketball, where a team attempted 24 or more threes, made four or less, and converted less than converted 60% or less of their free throws. Okay, so they attempted 24 or more,
yep,
made four or less, and made 60% or less of their free throws. 21 instances across college basketball, there was only one time somebody won. Okay, so when I look back, I say, hey, Indiana, you know, for all we talk about, when you look at the 40-minute sample that we saw last night, Indiana should get some credit for finding a way to win a game where the ball just wasn't falling through the net. Meanwhile, you had Farrakhan, Eastern Michigan, right? He was 3 of 7. I don't know what happened to that rim compared to Indiana's rim in the second half. Who knows? But one of the big reasons I think Indiana was able to overcome their struggles from three and overcome their struggles from the free throw line was because inside the arc, they did what they weren't able to do frequently in the Archie Miller era, and that was frequently make two-point shots. And I think that's a really encouraging sign going forward. Indiana converted their layups. Indiana made those short-range shots. Trace Jackson Davis made a mid-range jumper. Race Thompson was effective in the lane. Jordan Geronimo threw down a very funky-looking alley-oop throwdown. I don't know exactly if that was practiced. I can't imagine it was, but Indiana yesterday on Tuesday night shot 22 of 38 from 2-point land. Okay. 57%. That only happened six times all of last season, the 32 game in the 30 or so games that IU played. So if Indiana can consistently make 2-point shots, you can really open up other things in your offense. And that's why I look at this game and say, even though it was frustrating to say the least, that Indiana could only win by six, I look back and say, you know what? Okay, there are some good things you can take out of this game. The defense in the second half was a major concern. And I'm going to ask you this, Matt. You can take all the threes you want, but talk to me about the shooting on this team, the three-point shooting. Does Indiana need to dial it down from three, or is this something they can keep up and you'll see the percentages get better?
Here's the statistic that people need to focus on. We know who shoots three-pointers on this team, right? Miller yep. Kopp, Parker Stewart, Tamar Bates, and Finney. I know, even Finney. But Bates, Stewart, Kopp, right? Those are the people that we know can shoot. Those guys, well, we shot 4 of 24 from three. Those guys shot a combined 9 three-pointers out of the 24.
Wow.
They should be shooting at least half. They should have shot another three. And that's on a night that Miller Kopp went 0 of 3. You won't see that a lot. I think one of them was a jacked up.
You know, yeah. The transition
fake,
one.
The,
yeah.
The transition one and then the pump fake in the corner. Both of them were stupid threes. Parker Stewart, all four threes Parker Stewart took, I thought were good shots. He hit two of them. Two of them were in transition. The one in transition was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then Tamar Bates took two, missed both of them. I thought one of them was a good shot and one of them was a rush shot out of bounds, right? But those three guys should take at least half the three-pointers. I don't know why Rob Fantasy is taking 5 three-pointers. I don't know why Race Thompson is taking 4.
Yikes.
All right?
Yikes. Like,
that's confusing to me. Xavier Johnson going 1 of 3 from three, that's all I can ask for him because that's his shot looks janky as shit. Like all Whoa, can
hey,
be.
Hey,
watch out! His shot on like I saw him in person. His shot looks worse on TV. Uh-oh. It looks worse on TV. But
Dane that's Fife, fine. Dane Fife, paging Dane Fife. Need your help.
Jordan Geronimo, don't take 2 three-pointers. Like for Race Thompson and Geronimo, 1 three-pointer a game. One.
Yeah, and the Geronimo after the I think the second one that he took, Mike Woodson pulled him from the game. We haven't talked about Mike Woodson much. There's not too much to discuss besides just his presence and his gravitas at Assembly Hall on opening yeah. night. I think Mike Woodson under the microscope will happen probably during Wednesday night's game against St. John's, and seeing how he raises the level of this team over the course of the next few games. Matt, the one alarming area of concern for me is that in the second half, when things got tough, outside of Trace Jackson Davis, nobody stood up. Nobody stood up and made a play. Nobody stood up and changed the game. Nobody impacted things. It was almost just grabbing on for dear life until the end. And that can't happen again the rest of the season. Xavier Johnson hit a few shots over the course of the second half to help alleviate things. He finished with 14 points. It was a pretty quiet 14 points. But when I'm looking at the big picture here, when Indiana's backs are against the wall, and if that's maybe too extreme, when Indiana's just facing adversity, it can't just be Trace Jackson Davis digging them out of things. That was the one part of this entire game that left a bad, that kept me up at night. Okay. Yeah. It was tossing and turning a little bit. I said, man, Trace Jackson Davis is great. I didn't see Miller Kopp do anything. I didn't see Parker Stewart do anything. I didn't see Race Thompson do all that much at the end of the game. Help me out. I mean, did you see it the same way, or do you feel like there were some players there in the second half that did make a difference?
I did feel like there's some players in the second half that did make a difference. I think you brought one up. I think Xavier Johnson made a difference down the half. He made winning plays. Remember, he had that breakaway layup at the end of the game when Eastern Michigan
was
kind of pressing.
Sure.
That's a winning play. That's not just a good play. That's a play that good teams make consistently. Like, because they see the opportunity and they take it. And it's something that IU didn't do down the stretch against
Eastern Michigan. Those instincts kicked in.
Those winning instincts kicked in. And he's a guy that he didn't get the ball a lot in the second half. But when he did get the ball, he got to the line. When he did get to the ball, he made winning plays.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to learn as the season goes on. Yeah, Finney was a starting point guard last year, and they're giving him the green light. Yeah, Miller Kopp was a star at Northwestern. Yeah, Parker Stewart's great. Like, it's got to be me and Trace in crunch time, right? It's got to be the two best players on the team. It's got to be – well, I don't think Parker Stewart got a fair chance of being the best player last night because they didn't get the ball. But it's got to be it's got to be the guy with the ball and the best player making the plays, and he's got to understand that to close out games, you know, two-man game between the two of them or whatever. I'd also like to point out this. Rhys Thompson was in foul trouble for most of the second half.
It's fair. It's fair.
And he was plus 18 for the game.
And led the team in plus minus.
Right. There's a reason why they came back, and they came back because Rhys Thompson was on the floor. I thought Jordan Geronimo looked good, but he is miles below what Rhys Thompson brings to us on the defensive end. And he's miles below what Rhys Thompson brings to us as a team as a whole. I thought Trey Galloway, 13 minutes, not great.
Probably not great. Probably about 10 too many.
I wouldn't say 10 too many. I think he brings, I think it was a tough matchup for him because the guards were quick. Sure. He's not quick enough. Okay. I think on defense he can bring a little bit, but on offense, like I said, he's like Zach McRoberts 2.0. I got to see a three-pointer go in for this guy because I swear I have not seen it. He's very good at creating off the dribble as a forward, and we saw a lot of him bringing up the ball as like a point forward, which was super cool.
A little different.
A little bit different. Much rather you do that with Tamar Bates, who showed you can do the same exact thing and showed, by the way, flashes of brilliance and then flashes of both being a freshman.
Yeah, fair enough. In a nutshell, Matt, this could be literally a two-word answer for both of these questions. One IU player that impressed you last night and one that really frustrated you.
The same person, Rhys Thompson.
Yeah.
I thought Rhys Thompson really impressed me last night. Him in transition, he looks like Draymond Green out there, right? Like as a forward who's creating and transition, it was so cool. His alley-oop throw off the Trayce Jackson Davis dunk was super, super fun to watch. Like it was perfect. He had plenty of other really good passes throughout the game, was kind of like the second fiddle to Trayce in a perfect way. They have really good chemistry.
Yeah.
He also pissed me off because he got into foul trouble. And he should know better than to pick up some of the fouls he was picking. There's some of them were ticky-tack fouls away from the basket. Like, what are we doing here? Are like guys going up for a layup and he's just late on a contest and fouls the dude? Like, you are an important player. You're the leading plus minus getter. Like, you're the glue guy for this team.
Yeah, and it's not just, it wasn't just last night where Thompson led the way in plus minus. He's been atop the leaderboard almost every game the last 2 years. And so I see exactly what you're saying. I mean, he's somebody who needs to find a way to stay on the floor as much as possible. Indiana's offense alone was at its best when Rhys Thompson was on the court, and Indiana's defense was at its best with Rhys Thompson on the court. Only one player had a better defensive rating for Indiana. That was Miller Kopp. And the Miller Kopp minutes, Indiana did a very good job with defensive efficiency. It was Rhys Thompson who had the second best defensive efficiency for Indiana yesterday.
I have a question for the staff.
Yeah.
Why did Miller Kopp play more in the second half? Because, again, he led the team in defensive rating.
Yeah, so let me tell you why, right? And this is something we talk about departures from Archie Miller transitioning to Mike Woodson. I understand the stats are there, and I'm a numbers guy, but obviously the numbers do tell just a part of the story. And I think Mike Woodson did this was a long-term move by Mike Woodson. Okay. This was a rest of season move by Mike Woodson saying, look, Miller Kopp, this isn't you at Northwestern anymore, right? Miller Kopp has a miles long leash at Northwestern. There's nothing Miller Kopp could do wrong at Northwestern as far as mistakes he could make that would result in Chris Collins benching him. Okay. And I'm not saying Mike Woodson benched Miller Kopp, but this was an example where Woodson says, look, you've got to be crisper, got to be better over the course of your playing time. You're going to be a big part of this team. I think this was a chess move by Mike Woodson to get Miller Kopp more straight and aligned over the course of the rest of the year. Okay. Matt, to me, the guy who impressed me most on this IU team last night was Rob Phinisee, strangely enough. Obviously, Trayce Jackson Davis had the big day, but I saw Rob Phinisee do a lot of good things. The shot I liked Phinisee taking the most last night was not the three. off of a really nice ball movement sequence by Indiana. It was not that shot. It was when Finney came off a curl, went right into a mid-range jump shot from the free throw line. Little to no hesitation. That's exactly the kind of shot I want to see him taking more often. He had a rough second half, but the entire team had a rough second half except for Trayce Jackson-Davis. So Finney to me showed me stuff that I said, whoa, okay, I see some off-season improvement. Let's keep some in-season improvement going here. The guy that frustrated me yesterday was the guys that didn't play. I mean, Michael Durr obviously was an injury concern going into the game, so let's keep him out of this. But for Anthony Leal and Christian Lander and Logan Duncan to not get a minute yesterday raises some red flags, if you ask me. And look, those three guys now are going to have to do everything they can in practice, everything they can in between games here to prove to this coaching staff that they deserve playing time. So, you know, Indiana won a 6-point game. And if you weren't able to crack the rotation when Mike Woodson and the staff were probably looking for as many answers as possible, that to me is a pretty big red flag. And, you know, we'll see how things develop. I'm sure Woodson would have been comfortable playing them in a blowout, but, you know, maybe that's a chance that will present itself on Friday.
You know, Nathan, our friend Ant Wright is on the free Christian Lander trade.
Well, and again, right, like, so all I'm saying is, okay, we've talked about it on this podcast before. Christian Lander and Mike Woodson are probably a long-term relationship, not a short-term relationship. This is probably all about building Christian Lander for the 2022-23 season, right? You think Rob Finney maybe moves on. Xavier Johnson almost definitely moves on. Christian Lander becomes the alpha point guard in this offense. Now, there's going to be some competition, right? We saw CJ Gunn and Jalen Hood-Schifino sign with Indiana today, but officially signed with Indiana today. But no minutes? That's something that I say, oh, interesting. Okay, going to put a pin in that for Friday night and for the rest of the season. Quickly, it's time for Who Won the Week this past week in IU sports. And I'm going to give a shout out to the IU men's soccer team. You know, they had a bumpy start, right? And it's kind of an interesting parallel.
Yeah.
A bumpy start to the season. But really, they've picked up steam here down the stretch in the regular season and in the Big Ten tournament semifinals earlier today, a game you could have seen on Big Ten Network at Bill Armstrong Stadium. There was an unbelievable 3-minute, in fact, I think it was up a 2-minute sequence after 90 minutes had been played and the game had gone into overtime. Future pro goalkeeper Roman Celentano made 4 saves in about a 30, I think even about a 15 second stretch.
Yes.
When a goal by Northwestern would have won it. And it would have pushed Northwestern into the Big Ten tournament final. Celentano made those saves. And then 2 minutes later, Joey Marr found the back of the net for Indiana to push the Hoosiers to a 1-0 victory. IU now makes the Big Ten tournament final in Bloomington on Big Ten Network on Sunday to take on Penn State. It's a ranked versus ranked matchup. IU's goal right now is to get into those top 16 seeds for the NCAA men's soccer tournament. If you get those top 16, you get a first round bye and you get to host in the round of 32. So make sure you root on the Hoosiers. I would do everything I can to get to Armstrong Stadium on Sunday. It is a wonderful atmosphere and experience to watch an IU men's soccer game. If you haven't yet because of the pandemic or because you just haven't been able to get out there, I highly would recommend doing just that. If you'd like to subscribe to our podcast for free, all you have to do is search for the Hoosier Sound wherever you listen to podcasts. Stay up to date with all of our information by following us on Twitter at IndianaHQ and at The Hoosier Sound. This part is important. If you enjoy our show, leave us a review, tell a friend, share our links. Your support really helps us grow this podcast and reach more passionate IU fans such as yourself. So, man, as we wind up our Eastern Michigan conversation, what happened in the second half? Okay, it did look really good for IU in the first 20 minutes. It was 36-19 at halftime. But in the second half, Eastern Michigan dropped 43 points. Indiana went 0-9 from downtown. IU made 8 of their 15 free throws in the second half. There were no shots for Parker Stewart. There were no points for Rob Finney or Miller Kopp. Trayce Jackson-Davis was the guy. Of all those six or seven things I mentioned there, is there one that really stands out to you as a, you know, sirens blaring type of thing going forward?
I think the fact that you shoot 4 of 24 from three, you're 0 of 9.5, and then you're 5 of 15?
8 of 15.
8 of 15.
Barely better, yeah.
Yeah. Not great. Not great at all. And I don't, you don't need to be a basketball analyst to understand this. Numbers are terrible. And the context behind, you know, last year's shooting percentages makes it so much worse. And again, you look at the guys we lost from last year. You look at Al Durham and, you know, our boy Armon Franklin. You kind of start to wonder, where's the three-point production going to come from? Now, I have been telling you all summer that it will come from Parker Stewart, who shot 50% from three last night, and from Miller Kopp, who, to be fair to him, had a below-average game for him and went 0 of 3 from three. But it needs to be ironed out, and ironed out quickly, because this is like a bad habit. It can set in, right? A bad habit can set in. Bad shooting can do that to a team. You can become used to shooting the ball poorly. And that cannot happen for this team, because this team has been used to shooting the ball poorly the last 3 years under Archie Miller. And that is unacceptable.
Yeah, it did feel like some of those some of the bad habits sort of just conditionally reappeared, right? It was like, you know, it was almost routine, right? As far as Indiana, by the way, was on a 6-game losing streak. If you think about dating back to Indiana lost their final 6 games last year. So IU, okay, they did beat BC Mega in the 2 exhibitions, but as far as games that count,
and Belmont,
you know, think about games that count. Okay. Indiana was on a 6-game losing streak. Along the lines of your free throw points, Miller Kopp is a career 85% free throw shooter. Okay. And at Northwestern, he averaged 3 attempts per game last season, at least. The thing with Kopp is he was not on the floor at the end of the game last night. And you pointed that out. Yeah. You said, hey, Miller. So I told you, sort of a chess move by Mike Woodson to make sure Kopp is at his sharpest for the rest of the year. But down the stretch in close games, I think you're going to see Miller Kopp be Indiana's primary free throw shooter.
Yeah.
In those nail biters. And you know, in Big Ten play, there are going to be a lot of those. Mm-hmm. Just a couple other notes. Xavier Johnson was a 77% free throw shooter at Pitt. Last night, he struggled a little bit, 5 of 8. So you can expect some of his free throws to go in. Mm-hmm.
To be fair to him, he was 5 of 8, but he missed one, like, 2 free throw attempt. He missed a back-to-back. Other than that, he was 5 of 6.
Exactly.
So while he struggled, there was one instance at the line where he absolutely choked, and that's why his you know, free throw percentage.
And that'll happen in a very sort of, you know, at this point in the season, one bad trip will really kind of affect your numbers.
And if I'm going to be honest, right, Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to miss free throws. All right. Well,
and he was the last guy I was going to mention, because in his career, he's at 66%. He went 3 of 7 last night. So
exactly.
These numbers are going to just naturally improve themselves.
He's going to miss free throws. Race Thompson is going to miss free throws. The fact that they're getting free throws is good. The free throw percentage to me, not the problem. It's the 3-point percentage to me that is the problem. Because if IU converts 3 of those 3-pointers and they just go 7 of 24, this is a 15-point win.
Yep.
Right.
And I don't think it's wildly unrealistic to ask Indiana to make 3 more, right?
Yes. Yes.
3 or 4 more.
And I would like to point out about the shooting. One, 24 attempts, I think 3 of them were like last second shot clock heaves. I definitely remember one from Race Thompson. I think same.
That one too. Yeah.
There was like another 2 in the game where they deepened the shot clock and somebody took a stupid contested 3. There was the one out of a timeout that Jordan Geronimo took that he definitely shouldn't have taken. There's one out of the timeout that Tamar Bates took that he also definitely shouldn't have taken. So there's like 5 3-pointers in there that in a normal game probably is not taken. That being said,
yeah,
that would still be 4 of 19, which is unacceptable. And I'd like to point out another thing. These guys, look, Trey Jackson Davis, 14 rebounds. Race Thompson, 10. Now, a couple, they had 7 offensive rebounds, I believe. No, 5 offensive rebounds, my bad. Mm-hmm. Eastern Michigan had 7. Mm-hmm. They had 5 offensive rebounds, which is good. They probably almost all off of 3-point misses,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. It's just a chance for second chance points. But I felt like there was a couple 3-pointers taken by some individuals. Race Thompson.
Yeah.
Xavier Johnson.
Yeah.
And Trey Galloway, where they took the 3-pointer. And instead of like trying to make the 3-pointer, they just tried to not miss it by a lot. Get it close. It was a 3-point attempt that was like, well, if I miss this, it's fine. That's not a shooter's mentality.
No, it's not. And
you shouldn't. Yeah. You should not be taking 3-pointers with that. They kind of like hesitated a little bit to go up and were like, well, fine, if I miss this. Miller Kopp, too, by the way, took one of those. And the pump fake three was like, oh, I'm open. I should take a 3-pointer. Wait, maybe I shouldn't. Well, you know what? I'll take a 3-pointer anyways. And if it doesn't go in, they'll get it. Don't do that. Like, yeah. Just like that stuff needs to be ironed out of the team as it goes on. Again, I'm not in. This is me reading into the situation. I have no information to say that they were told to just take random 3-pointers, throw them off the rim. But I'm saying that's in which
context. This is just your viewpoint on how things went.
Yeah. That's my opinion on what I thought I saw.
Yeah.
And so I don't want anybody coming at me. But yeah.
Well, I think they're going to come after you anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
But hey, the good news, right? It was just one game. And Indiana now has a very concrete data set, concrete 40-minute batch of film that they can watch here going into Friday's game against Northern Illinois. And then, of course, the big heavyweight tilt, one of three real big showdowns in non-conference play when St. John's visits Assembly Hall on Wednesday night. Real quick, it's time for a social media shout-out where we wanted to just tip our cap to the three 2022 IU men's basketball signees at signing day across all of the NCAA. So name your sport. Indiana likely added 1 or 2 or 3 people to their recruiting class. For IU men's basketball, it was Jalen Hood-Schifino, Caleb Banks, and CJ Gunn. So all of them, no surprises, submitted their letters of intent. I like seeing Kenya Hunter's tweets, warm, welcoming all three players warmly.
Yeah.
To the Bloomington family, and make sure you do that as well over on social media, or if you see any of the three at Assembly Hall. Of course, if you don't, they're going to start their IU basketball careers about a year from now. So buckle up for that. Matt, one of the things we talked about was that Northern Illinois is coming to Assembly Hall on Friday night. It's a 6 p.m. tip-off, and it should be fascinating. 7 p.m. 7 Eastern, 6 Central time zone. My bad. 7 Eastern tip. That's over on BTN Plus. Indiana is projected to win comfortably, according to the old KenPom machine. KenPom's got it. It's an 82-57 projection for Indiana. But here's the catch. Northern Illinois is a little plucky. They're a little feisty.
A little spicy.
The Huskies went to Seattle and knocked off the University of Washington out of the Pac-12 late on Tuesday night by a final of 71-64. That was a game where Washington tipped off as a 20-point favorite, and Northern Illinois led by star? I mean, it's clearly a star. Trendon Hankerson dropped 28 on the University of Washington, and they couldn't stop it. Look, I know most of America, if they picked one college basketball game to watch late on Tuesday night, with Kentucky Duke. Not me. No, not this guy. Look, I say Kentucky Duke, that'll be available on YouTube or on ESPN, whatever, they'll keep replaying that for the rest of eternity. I found myself watching this Northern Illinois-Washington game. It was a Husky versus Husky matchup.
Yes.
And Trendon Hankerson was unstoppable. By the way, Northern Illinois jumped out to a 33-17 lead in the first half as 20-point underdogs. And even though Washington made it a 7-point game at the end, it really wasn't even that close. So Northern Illinois is a team that, no question, will have undoubtedly popped onto Mike Woodson and the staff's radar after their performance on Tuesday night. NIU is still a team that will probably be outmatched, overwhelmed by this Hoosier squad. Matt, talk to me. Who's one player on this IU team that you want to see step up on Friday night? Who are you expecting to get some more playing time? Who are you expecting to make a difference here against a Northern Illinois team led by Hankerson, who's like a 6'6", 6'7" sort of wing type scorer, driver, that type of player?
Give me Miller Kopp. Again, I say he should have played more down the stretch. I think he didn't show his best shooting ability, and he led the team in defensive rating. And he's a 6'7", 6'8" guy. You're going to have to guard Trendon Hankerson, right? You're going to have to guard the number one guy on the other team. So I'm assuming that actually, you know, somebody like Race Thompson will pick him up, and that'll be his duty. But either way, you're going to have to guard him on switches. So we're going to need the best defensive players we can get out there that can match up well and give him size. Again, that's a Washington team last year that sucked. Sucks.
They were projected to finish second to last in the Pac-12 again this year. So yeah, they're not going to be ever ranked in the top 25. But hey, still pretty impressive performance by NIU.
By the way, between the Pac-12 and the Western Athletic Conference, which one has better basketball? Because I'm not sure it's the Western Athletic Conference. It might be the WAC. I'm not sure, because you look at the way Cal played yesterday, you look at Washington, you look at, I think Arizona State lost as well. Pac-12 looking sus.
right? RIP Pac-12 being good. It lasted like 2 actual college basketball weeks.
That's true. So the player I think needs to end up is Miller Kopp. Nathan, this team shoots threes that we're playing.
Yeah. This team
shoots threes. They attempted 48 field goals last night. 23 of them were threes.
Half. Almost.
Half of them
advanced were threes. Math. Again, here.
Indiana shot 62, 24 of them were threes.
Right.
And we shot a ton of threes. All right. They shot almost as many of us on like 20 less attempts.
Huh. Here's the deal. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, Indiana's got a few things they can work on as far as their 3-point defense there. It was good for about 25 to 30 minutes on Tuesday night. You really, when you evaluate how good a team is against 3-pointers, you don't look at the percentage the other team makes. You look at the percentage the other team takes. Okay, and for Eastern Michigan to attempt as many threes as they did, that is a little bit of a sign that, hey, Indiana, you know, you've got to cut down on the number of threes that your opponents take. Of course, the game flow worked its way in that direction. But, you know, Washington, you know, thumbs down as far as giving up half of your 48 field goal attempts, basically from three to Northern Illinois. By the way, I vastly overestimated Hankerson's height. Apparently he's 6'2", but I don't know. I'm just gonna challenge the Google folks there or whoever. I think maybe Northern Illinois University is trying to deceive. You know, they're like, yeah, we're gonna list
6'2".
Yeah, I think still when you think of the matchup, I think it's gonna be Miller Kopp matching up. I think it's going to be perhaps Parker Stewart getting the defensive assignment on Hankerson. So keep an eye out for him. It's a first-year coach, by the way. And it's the second consecutive first-year coach that Indiana is facing this year. I know Mike Woodson's a first-year coach, but Stan Heath at Eastern Michigan was coaching his first game at EMU. I should be clear. He's a longtime head coach at the college level, but his first game at Eastern Michigan. And now it's Rashawn Burno, who is the head coach at NIU. He came over from the Arizona State program. He was an assistant at Florida before that. So there we go. It's a new challenge for Indiana going into this game.
By the way, before we start wrapping things up here, women's team won because they were playing tonight. And IU won 86-63. Nicole Cardano Hillary had herself a game. I think the last time I checked, she had 26 points. So, that's good. But apparently, they work on their post defense. But it's fine. They still win. They win by 23. Good teams win. Great teams cover.
Wow.
Go Hoosiers.
Did you find a line for the IU women's game?
No, I didn't. I just assumed they were favored by 20.
In a hypothetical world. By the
hypothetically, they covered. I don't know if they did or not. I'm just going to pretend like they did.
What sports book do you go to?
My own.
Yeah. Okay. Indiana, by the way, the women's team on Sunday. You know, it sets up really nicely, right? Like Sunday, you can go to the men's soccer game, Big Ten tournament final, and then just walk. It should be pretty nice in Bloomington. Just walk over to Assembly Hall and catch the women's team take on Kentucky. Top 15 matchup at Assembly Hall. It should be a fantastic atmosphere on Sunday afternoon as the Hoosiers try to notch a top 15 win to their resume. Of course, they're not concerned about bubble or not bubble. They're concerned about top 4 seed, 3 seed, top 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. And a win over Kentucky like that would make a pretty big difference. Matt, one thing I noticed as I watched the University of Washington play on Pac-12 Network on Tuesday night was that Washington struggled a bit with full court pressure. And that was something that Mike Woodson preached when he took over the job at Indiana. He said, hey, you know, you might see some press action here for IU. I would anticipate that even though you did not see it on Tuesday night, you could potentially see Indiana throw some full court pressure at Washington. At Northern Illinois. Of course, Washington did that because they were down in the game and they had to respond to trailing in the game. But hey, if Indiana is in a leading position, as we expect them to be on Friday night, playing some full court pressure when you're ahead in the game could be a nice learning opportunity for the rest of this team. So Matt, talk to me. There's no spread yet for Indiana, Northern Illinois, but hey, we can expect them to be about a 22-23 point favorite against the Huskies. You expect the Hoosiers to win comfortably against Northern, or do you think it's going to be a bit of a nail biter like it was on Tuesday night?
I expect they would have at this point today ran the court down and back about 25 times. I assume that they are going to come out mad against Eastern Michigan or against Northern Illinois. I assume they're going to come out mad because look, if we look back on this entire offseason, everybody is so excited. You look in the responses to last night's game. They were so mad about how it unfolded that they felt like they were disappointed. They felt like they underperformed. If they're as good of a team as we expected and predicted that they are, they're going to come out and they don't care what the heck Northern Illinois did to Washington. All right. They're just going to beat the person in front of them and they're going to beat them into submission. And so I'm assuming that IU will come out from the gate and put the pedal down and not let up until about with 5 minutes left in the second half. When they're up about 25. That's my guess.
Hey, and it was a comment that Trace Jackson Davis made after the game last night along those lines. Hey, we've got to put our foot on their throat when we take a big lead like that. And if Tuesday night's win over Eastern Michigan is a learning experience, then you take the short margin of victory in that game if it means more long-term success. I think Indiana is going to win comfortably here as well. Northern got a little lucky as far as 3-point performance, not only of their own, but Washington really struggled to make any threes from deep. And of course, Indiana is a team that probably is due to make a few more after going 4-for-24 on Tuesday night. So I do see Indiana winning pretty comfortably. I want to see a few different defensive looks. I like this game as an opportunity to experiment, to try some things. I want to see a few different looks from IU's defense. I want to see them throw some full court pressure. I want to see them move into a zone a couple of times, because you can't throw that out the first time when you play a team like St. John's or when you play a team like Syracuse. So I think this is a good opportunity for IU to try implementing that into their game. And I'm also expecting a few more plays drawn up for Parker Stewart. I know you like him, Matt. I want to see him take a few more threes on Friday night. I want to see him get the ball. I want to see him have the green light. I want to see some scripted opportunities to get Stewart the ball, especially if Indiana finds their offense slumping at different points, even if it's for a minute or two over the course of the game. By the way, just want to make sure I clarify, Indiana's game against Kentucky, the women's game on Sunday, is at 5 Eastern, not 4. I think I may have said 4. It's at 5 Eastern at Assembly Hall. Definitely try to get out there if you can. If you cannot, the game will be televised on ESPN. Matt, let's wind down here on this Wednesday night. We normally have Tuesday night podcast episodes, but because IU played last night, we pushed it here. It felt like it was a nice sort of bridge between the first game of the season and this pretty important second game. Yep. What are your closing thoughts here as we wind down? IU basketball is 1-0. The Mike Woodson era off to a good start.
Normally, I would say a win is a win, because, you know, it's nice to get a dub on the board. And at the end of the year, you're going to look at that score and go, that's just a win in the box score, right? You're not going to make a lot out of it. A 6-point win is just a fairly decent win, size win. But the way they performed, they have to play better on Friday night. We expect more from them, and it's good that we expect more from them, even though they don't really haven't showed us much more, right? But from what we've understand from the Belmont scrimmage, what we understand from what we saw in the Bahamas, we expect a little bit more out of this team, and a little bit more, because that's how much we care for them. That's how much we want them to succeed. So I think the team understands that. I think they'll perform on Friday night, and I'm very excited to see that. I'm very excited to talk about it on Tuesday and then see them play a pretty good St. John's team, by the way. Scored 120 points in the first game.
Well, I mean, St. John's just a little bit more of a finished product. By the way, I'm tripping over myself so much here tonight. IU men's soccer is not playing at home on Sunday. I need to, I can't, we don't, no, we don't have the budget the here to go back and like dub my voice over what I said previously. So here's the deal. I got confused when I was thinking about Indiana hosting games in the men's soccer tournament and the NCAA tournament. But Sunday's Big Ten tournament title game is at Penn State. So if you show up at Bill Armstrong Stadium on Sunday at noon, nobody's going to be there. So make sure if you want to really support the Hoosiers, flip on Big Ten Network at noon Eastern. I grossly apologize to anyone who was planning to buy tickets for the game on Sunday and was very confused when they called the office. And you got a rude response from the other end. It's
false.
Yeah, and no, it is. And I apologize for that. You get one free insult. I don't know, whatever. As far as I'm concerned, hey, win is a win. Okay, so I've never believed that. Okay, so I used to believe that, and then I changed my mind like 2 years ago, and I think I changed my mind in the second Archie Miller season when the Hoosiers won a lot of games at the start of the year.
Yep.
But it was kind of close, and it was hard to watch, and then they went on that 12 out of 13 game skid in Big Ten play, and I said, oh, actually, you know what? The way you win does matter. I will say, right, last night you saw a good chunk of upsets. You saw upsets in the Pac-12, teams like California, I should say, went down as far as day one was concerned when they were pretty big favorites at home. You know, Stanford was in a close game. Of course, we talked about Washington going down. We talked about Virginia losing. Georgia Tech lost last night. Northern Iowa lost last night at home. So good teams did lose their first game of the season yesterday. And Indiana didn't. So that's encouraging. And as far as I'm concerned, Indiana played. There's a lot more opportunity, statistical opportunity, but also just basketball opportunity. Mm-hmm. For Indiana just get better. We talked about, hey, you know, they probably should have made four or five more three-pointers. They probably should have made three or four more free throws. Eastern Michigan probably shouldn't have had their version of Geo Baker go crazy at the end. And all in all, I see only good things for this Indiana team to come. But with that said, if they win by six on Friday night again, we're going to have a serious conversation. But that about wraps it up for our 225th show of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your support, even if I give you wrong times and dates and locations for all these different contests. Thank you to our live audience. You guys are all beautiful people. To hear more fantastic episodes like the one you heard today, be sure to follow us at Indiana HQ to make sure you don't miss any in the future. You can also go to our website, indianahq.com, to find everything in one place. But as always, thank you for listening, Hoosier Nation, and we will see you next time.